70 years after World War II, the United States still maintains large military bases in both Germany and Japan. 60 years plus after the Korean War, the U.S. still maintains a major presence in South Korea. The list of countries that contain American military bases is a long one, too long in the opinion of our next guest. David Vine is the author of Base Nation, How U.S. Military Bases Abroad Harm America and the World. David Vine is an associate professor of anthropology at American University in Washington, D.C. His earlier book is along similar lines. It's called Island of Shame, The Secret History of the U.S. Military Base on Diego Garcia. David Vine, welcome to the Jefferson Exchange.
Thank you so much for having me. It's a pleasure.
Can we assume that covering the one base led to the book covering all of them?
That's exactly right. Like most Americans, I didn't think much about U.S. military bases overseas for most of my life until it's actually 14 years ago I was introduced to the story of Diego Garcia, where we have a very sizable military base smack dab in the middle of the Indian Ocean. And I came to learn that the only reason we have this base is because in the late 1960s and early 1970s, the U.S. and British governments forcibly removed the entire indigenous people of Diego Garcia and the surrounding archipelago. People are called Chagossians. And they literally dumped them in exile 1,200 miles away in the western Indian Ocean on the islands of Mauritius and the Seychelles. And the people were left there without resettlement assistance and have been living in impoverished exile ever since, struggling actually to get back to their homeland. Meanwhile, the base is referred to in the military as the footprint of freedom, with no sense of the irony that that has meant for the Chagossians, the exiled people. So this coming to learn about this story opened my eyes to this huge network of hundreds of military bases the United States has been maintaining overseas and other people's lands for now more than 70 years, this huge network that grew up in World War II in the beginning of the Cold War. And in Base Nation, I'm looking at the whole breadth of the network of bases and the ways in which, the many ways in which these bases are actually harming people around the world. The Chagossians, of course, one example of people who've been displaced, but in a range of other ways that bases are actually not just harming locals, but they're harming us here in the United States. Beginning with the economic costs, which I'm happy to talk about.
Let's talk about some other numbers first, because the book is very big and very thorough, but the number is somewhat squishy. You say about 800 American military bases overseas. Why does it end up being an estimate?
Yeah, the Pentagon itself doesn't have a firm or authoritative count of the total number of U.S. bases outside the 50 states and Washington, D.C. In fact, no one really knows for sure the total number. The Pentagon does put together a yearly listing of its bases overseas, and the last listing indicated that there were 686 base sites outside the 50 states and D.C., but this list leaves off numerous well-known bases, like bases in Kuwait, as well as secretive bases. So my best estimate after 14 years of research is that we have around 800 bases abroad.
When you say the Pentagon's not sure, are some of these not actually military, like CIA, for example?
Well, I do think we have to think about CIA paramilitary bases and intelligence bases, which serve military functions. That would effectively expand the total even beyond 800, most likely. But the Pentagon isn't sure, just because you can see this, for example, in the height of the occupation of Iraq or Afghanistan, military representatives didn't know for sure how many bases the military had. So it's part of a symptom and a sign of how sprawling the military bureaucracy is, and in my mind, how out of control in many ways this infrastructure of bases abroad has become.
We've closed many domestic bases over the last 35 years, and post-Cold War, you do point out a number of foreign bases have closed as well. But, I mean, what was the peak number, as far as anybody can tell, or what percentage have we reduced by since the Soviet Union collapsed?
Yeah, the height of World War II, for example, we had thousands of bases, and some of those were closed at the end of World War II. In the Cold War, we had a pretty entrenched infrastructure of thousands of bases. most of them dating again to World War II. By the end of the Cold War, we had about 1,600 bases overseas in about 40 countries. Again, the numbers are, as you said, a bit squishy, but that's, these are the best available estimates. Now we have around 800, as I said, although they are now in 80 countries. So while the total number of bases has declined in recent decades, the breadth has actually expanded, and often with some troubling implications, where we're getting involved militarily in places where we haven't been, where there isn't much of a conversation about the implication of getting involved and potentially getting involved in conflicts that Americans know very little about.
Is there an overriding philosophy here that you could divine, David Vine? I mean, is there an idea to keep a fence of sorts a little further away from our house, so to speak?
There is absolutely a philosophy, and it's a philosophy that dates to the beginning of the Cold War. And part of the argument of Base Nation is that this philosophy, this what's called the forward strategy, if it had some value and some logic to it during the Cold War, that logic and value has long been unquestioned and has worn out, effectively. The idea in the Cold War was to maintain, as you mentioned, sort of a wall of bases as close to the Soviet Union, the enemy at the time, to protect the United States. And basically, while there were some significant base closures at the end of the Cold War, the very significant base infrastructure remained in place. So this is, in my mind, simply an outdated strategy that has not been questioned enough and needs to be rethought. We need to rethink our basic mode of engaging with the rest of the world. So often military bases are actually the leading edge of how we're engaging with other nations and other people. And Base Nation points out often that military presence, that military base presence, has been very counterproductive and actually made us less secure and made people around the world less secure.
All right, we'll explore that further on the other side of a break. The book is called Base Nation, How U.S. Military Bases Abroad Harm America and the World. David Vine is its author and our guest. We'll come back to the exchange and take your phone calls and emails as well in a minute five. Final segment on today's Jefferson Exchange. I'm Jeffrey Riley. Thank you for listening. Our discussion topic is military bases, American military bases overseas, a whole bunch of them. Somewhere around 800, perhaps. That is the best guess of David Vine and his book, Base Nation, How U.S. Military Bases Abroad Harm America and the World. We'll get further into his philosophy, and you can discuss the concept with us as well. Join us on the exchange at 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. So we talked about the need to keep some sort of presence out there in the world, particularly when the USSR existed. Of course, Russia is perceived as a threat now. Interesting to watch the progression, though, and who got involved how with this. Jimmy Carter, for example, you talked about what he did with bases during his term, which was what?
He expanded the U.S. base presence, and then that's one of the important trends to point out, that even while there have been closures at times, including after the Cold War, as we discussed, there has also been base construction at the same time. But under Jimmy Carter, we saw a really massive buildup of U.S. military bases in the Persian Gulf, in particular, following the 1979 Soviet invasion of Afghanistan and the Iranian Revolution. We saw the beginning of a very substantial buildup that included actually Diego Garcia, to this point now includes every Persian Gulf nation except Iran. There are U.S. bases. And it's worth and very important to point out that all of these nations are undemocratic. There's been actually globally a preference for the U.S. military to maintain bases in undemocratic countries. And in the process, we have effectively propped up repressive regimes, dictators, Bahrain, where just one example where repressive regimes have suppressed pro-democracy movements. So our base is quite to the contrary of spreading democracy or being a model for democracy. All too often have actually accomplished the exact opposite. And, Carter's buildup in the Persian Gulf and the greater Middle East is a prime example of this.
The thing that makes Carter's buildup fascinating is the current context, which is to this day, if you want to equate any Democratic president with Jimmy Carter, you sort of lump him in the, gee, that was a weak guy category. At least this is the way the Republicans tend to do this. So does the idea of being called weak for closing American bases ultimately work against the concept of doing any pruning?
It is one of the dangers, certainly, and it's worth also pointing out that while Carter began this buildup, it was Reagan who definitely accelerated it. One of the reasons I'm very optimistic is that you see people across the political spectrum beginning to question this status quo that has gone unquestioned for far too long. So even Donald Trump in the past couple of weeks has said, why are we spending so much money defending Germany? Why are we spending so much money defending Japan? Of course, both very wealthy nations with very strong militaries of their own, where we have hundreds of bases still, 70 years after the end of World War II. So it is an issue where you see some rare bipartisanship, and I think there's a potential for people across the political spectrum to make common cause and defeat any who would sort of in a knee-jerk fashion say that the closure of a base means that we're undermining our security. And in fact, the opposite is the case. Closing bases can, in a range of ways, actually strengthen our security and make the world more secure.
But how do we know that? I mean, are there places we've closed bases where that has been the effect?
Well, I think we can look at the closure of hundreds of bases since the end of the Cold War, closure of bases in Japan just in the past decade, including in Okinawa, where there's been a lot of protest. And we have not seen the world falling apart. In fact, where we see, you know, of course, the most chaos and really disaster is in the Middle East, where we have this substantial and growing base infrastructure that has made it all too easy to launch interventionist wars, to launch the war in Iraq, 2003 invasion and later occupation of Iraq that I think is clearly directly linked to the chaos and violence and death that we're seeing in Syria and Iraq and throughout the Middle East today.
Let's take a call. Here is John in Grants Pass. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with David Vine, the author of Base Nation, How U.S. Military Bases Abroad Harm America and the World. Hi, John.
Hi. What about the economic impact on these places, you know, the cities around them? For instance, I remember, I think it was maybe back in the 80s or so, that in the Philippines, Subic Bay, which was the Navy, and Clark Field, the Air Force, I believe, were closed. So around the world on these. And then I want you also maybe comment on the United States. I know when El Toro closed down in San Diego, San Diego is a gigantic city, and maybe it didn't affect it that much. But I remember that the Air Force Base in Merced, California closed, and that's a small town. So I wonder about the, anyway, economic impact. Thanks.
All right. Thanks, John.
Great questions. And this is frequently a concern you see here in the United States when there's talk of closing domestic bases. Locals are often quite concerned that they might lose jobs or that the economic impact would be quite severe on their communities. But what research shows, both here in the United States and at bases overseas, where locals often have the same concerns, research shows that actually, in general, the economic effect of base closures is relatively slight, and that communities generally bounce back quite quickly. And in some cases actually end up stronger for the closure of the bases. I think we need only think of bases, you know, often they're quite large and occupy quite large plots of land that can be used in much more economically productive ways. So you see bases being converted into schools and housing, shopping areas, and other forms of economic development that are far more economically productive than bases. So the economic impact, it's a great and important question, but I think the fears have far exceeded the reality where actually there are great opportunities. And I don't know about Merced in particular, but I do know one of the UC campuses is open there. And there are some direct cases in Germany, for example, where bases have been converted into schools, universities. And I think that's a prime example of the productive closure of bases.
So continuing with Germany, where the largest American base is, the Ramstein Air Force Base, you point out that it really is like a city. It's got its own Burger King and so forth. It seems like if any country in the world possessed the power to tell us to pack up, and certainly the economic wherewithal to do so, it would probably be Germany. So why still such a huge presence there, as we pointed out, 70 years after the Second World War ended?
Yeah, again, a great question. And I think one of the key reasons why this very large base infrastructure has remained in place in places like Germany and around the world is just out of sheer inertia, diplomatic inertia, economic inertia. And what we saw in Germany was, first of all, there were some significant closures after the end of the Cold War and in the past decade, and the economic effects there have been quite slight. And the German government, the national government, was quite unconcerned, generally speaking, from all my research, by these closures. But to demand the closure of bases, whether it was Germany doing that or Japan, would greatly upset sort of the status quo in nation-to-nation relations. When Prime Minister Hatoyama of Japan in the past few years tried to change that status quo and demanded change in the basing policy in Okinawa in particular, part of the reason his government fell was that he made those overtures, and the Obama administration began putting tremendous pressure with the help of conservatives in Japan on the government. So sheer diplomatic and political inertia is part of the reason why these bases have stayed in place. It's just easier.
Well, it was, and very few federal programs ever seem to go out of business once established. So there's that to consider too. Jay in Walterville writes, all of the Pentagon budget is only part of the cost of this military-industrial complex. The intelligence community, comprised of most of our federal government agencies, e.g., State, CIA, FBI, etc., then add on the contractors like Cheney's Halliburton and services including Black Ops, paramilitary. This is about jobs, is the hawk view. Tough to solve when we have Social Security traded off in legislative bill negotiation. That from Jay. So let me add to that. I mean, there's the whole political reality of trying to talk about trying to not look like a chicken or a wimp or your term here when you try to bring up the idea of let's close a few military bases in Congress.
Yeah, you're pointing to several of the other dimensions to why these bases have stayed in place so long. Some, as the listener suggested, some of it is about the money to be made. There's been tremendous tens of billions of dollars every year being made. By my very conservative estimate, $85 billion a year we're spending to maintain troops and bases overseas. And that doesn't include Iraq and Afghanistan, where we still have bases and troops, of course, and the total could rise to $156 billion a year, again, conservatively, if you include those countries. And that money has to go somewhere. A lot of it is going to military contractors like KBR, the former Halliburton subsidiary. Perhaps about jobs for those military contractors, but I think more importantly about the huge profits to be made on the contracts to build and maintain bases. But it's also fundamentally, as you pointed out, about this perception that if you're calling for the reduction of something related to the military, if you're calling for the closure of a base, it means you're undermining national security, when in fact the opposite, I think, is the case. Closing can strengthen our national security.
Okay, I want to get to that before we close, but I want to get to Skeeter and Eugene first. Welcome to the Jefferson Exchange with David Vine, the author of Base Nation.
Good morning, gents.
Hi.
Good morning.
As an earthling, I'm sometimes a little embarrassed being an American. I kind of feel like we're the bully on the block. I'm curious, does Russia or China or any other countries, do any other countries have massive bases all around the world like we do? I can't help but think that we play right into Putin's trip of saying, hey, the Americans are coming. They're right on our borders.
They're surrounding us, that kind of thing. Yeah.
Thanks
for that, Skeeter.
Yeah, great question. The rest of the world combined has about 30 bases among them. So this is Russia, Britain, France, and a few other nations. There are some signs that China might be building its or interested in establishing its first overseas base, but as far as we know, it doesn't have one. And you're exactly right. So important to point out that the United States has about 95% of the world's foreign military bases. And you're exactly right that it plays into the hands of someone like Putin. There are U.S. bases coming increasingly close to the borders of Russia. And I think it's worth considering how we would feel, first of all, to have a foreign military base on our soil, even a close ally like Italy or France, foreign troops and bases on our soil. But if China or Russia were to establish even a single base near the borders of the United States, how would we feel? And I think there'd be a very rapid cry for building up our military forces, spending money on the more money on the military. And meanwhile, we have hundreds of bases in East Asia encircling China, scores of bases in Europe and Asia, also encircling Russia. And this is one of the ways that bases can actually make war more likely rather than less likely. They can encourage other nations to spend more on their militaries and increase military tensions in the process.
So if we drop back, though, I mean, would Russia and China potentially move into some of the countries that we have vacated? And I guess the major point is, how do we make ourselves safer by closing bases?
Yeah, both good questions. It would not be, there would be no, for the globe, there would be no advantage if the Russia or China simply replaced the United States at some of these overseas bases. So part of the argument of base nation is that there needs to be more of a fundamental change in U.S. foreign policy and hopefully in the process of foreign relations and international relations generally, that it's not a call for pulling back to some sort of isolationist United States. If we're going to close bases, we also need to boost our diplomatic engagement, our diplomatic forces and tools overseas, and begin to engage with other nations in other ways to ensure that if we close bases overseas, that they don't simply turn to another power, instead to maintain close ties with those allies.
And so potentially cultural support or agricultural support, something other than military?
Exactly. And with the backing of a U.S. military that is so powerful it can deploy from the United States just as quickly as it can from overseas bases, so we can reassure allies that we will have their back from the United States.
A lot to think about. The book is called Base Nation, How U.S. Military Bases Abroad Harm America and the World. David Vine wrote it and joined us on The Exchange today. David, thank you.
Thank you. It's been a pleasure.
All right, take care.